be very helpful today. But anyway, two of Aaron's sons that we've mentioned before, Nadab and Abihu, offer strange fire, and I put that in quotes, in their censers that the Lord had commanded not. And the best that we can understand is this is fire that God had not commanded. There was a place from which they were to get the coals for their fire. They came from somewhere else, and God had not provided for that. They acted on their own, and it was apparently jointly done on the part of both of them, because the other two sons did not do this. I think this is interesting to consider. Two chose to do this, the others did not. Fire came from before the Lord and burned them to death. But in that burning to death, their bodies were not destroyed. Moses tells Aaron that this shows that God meant what he said, that when he said he was to be held in high regard among the people, he was to be respected and obeyed. But we find that Aaron has no comeback. He does not respond to Moses. Why is that? His son had disobeyed the Lord and he knew it. There was nothing he could say to justify or excuse it. It says in the scriptures that Nadab and Abihu's tunics were not destroyed. Their bodies were removed by two of Aaron's cousins who are named in the scriptures. Moses instructed Aaron and his other two sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, to continue on with their priestly duties. They were to not to slack. And they were issued strict instructions regarding their grief, that they not allow it to interfere with their duties. Well, this was a stunning turn of events after all the week's activities as they were assuming their duties as priests. One can, again, just put himself there and imagine the emotions, reactions that people were feeling that day and observing what has now happened, and the lessons to be learned from all of this. Moses then provides warning to the priests that they are never to drink any kind of fermented beverage while on duty as priests, lest you die. This was a lasting ordinance so as to distinguish, they could distinguish between things holy and unholy, clean and unclean, and also be able to teach all Israel on the difference in these things. I'd note, I don't have, but we're told that Christians are a nation of kings. Should we not also always be able to tell the difference between holy and unholy, things clean and unclean, and be able to teach others the difference? We are influenced by the effects of fermented beverages. I think this warning applies to us today. And not engage in those things, our ability to function as Christians ought to in this world. Question, is it bad to do what God has not commanded, considering what has happened to Nadab and Abihu? Is it as bad to do what God has not commanded as is to do what He has forbidden? Obviously, the answer is very serious, and the answer is yes. Moses then reminds the priest of God's commands regarding which portions of which sacrifices they were to eat, where to eat it, and with whom they could share in the eating. Moses subsequently that day checking on sacrifices thought Ithamar and Eleazar had somehow disregarded some aspects of this command, and he became very angry. Aaron then came forward and said to Moses, "Today they sacrifice their sin and burnt offerings before the Lord because of such dreadful things that happened to me. Would the Lord have been pleased if I had eaten the sin offering today?" And Moses was satisfied, and he essentially his position on that matter and his anger was calmed, or soothed, you might say. He was satisfied. But after all of this, there is a matter, and we're not told exactly when this was, but it seems it was fairly soon thereafter. A blasphemer is stoned. Sometime during the stay at Mount Sinai, we're not told when, an Israelite man, his mother was Israelite, I think his father was Egyptian, he was involved in a dispute wherein he blasphemed the name of the Lord and he cursed, and there were witnesses to that event. The matter was brought to Moses, and this man had been held in custody from the time of this cursing, this blaspheming, until now, because the Lord had not yet revealed what to do with him. Now the Lord instructs that this man is to be brought outside the camp. Witnesses that had seen and heard what he had done were to lay their hands on his head and recite or provide their testimony again, condemning this act. And then all Israel was to stone him to death. God had once again made clear his law was to be respected. So this coming on the heels of Nadab and Abihu is certainly something that should register with them. The last thing we want to consider in this lesson is they are now only 2 days from the time of the Passover, and it's being pointed out that the first Passover after leaving Egypt is to be observed. They're entering into the second year, first month, and everything's been set up and approved by the Lord. And it's now only 2 days until the 14th day of the first month when the Passover is to be observed. Israel has remained throughout this year camped at Mount Sinai. They are instructed again to observe according to all the rules given. They are to make necessary preparations. Then it's recorded they observed this Passover as commanded, and the next 7 days they kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then there were some that were unable to participate in this Passover because they were unclean. They were in a dilemma. They basically found themselves conflicted with demands of two conflicting commands. To do one was to disobey the other, and vice versa. So what should they do? They could not act without authority. God, of course, is the source of that authority. He had not provided for this situation up to this point. But this situation provides the good teaching opportunity to provide this instruction and tell them what to do. Moses brings the matter to God, and God makes provisions for those unclean and also for those on a journey. Could have been an Israelite was out on a journey as Passover was approaching through hindrances beyond his control. One could imagine a river, weather, whatever. He didn't get home. So they can't observe the Passover. So the situation is that they can now observe the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. They must otherwise observe it the same as God required beforehand. Failure to observe the Passover was to be cut off from his people, and this person was to bear the consequences of his own sin for that failure. For the stranger or alien in the land who wished to observe the Passover, and for the native born, the same rules would apply to both in observing the Passover. Israel must now remain at Mount Sinai for one more month for the second group to partake of the Passover. That concludes our lesson. I think I said any more, Jimmy.